Welcome to the broadcast. This is Clyde J. Kale, and you are listening to MPIR Live, Episode 9 for September the 12th, 2020. Now, I didn't skip an episode last week. I said that was Episode 7, but I got mixed up in my numbering. Uh-oh. Anyhow, we can all make mistakes, right? Well, sit down and put your cowboy hats on, and we are going to listen to Fort Laramie tonight. I've selected two outstanding episodes for you. Fort Laramie was a CBS radio Western series. It aired on Sunday afternoons from January 22nd to October 28th, 1956. And the Western drama, it depicted life at Old Fort Laramie during the 19th century. And the interesting thing about this, it didn't satire the West. It wasn't like the juvenile series of The Lone Ranger or Hopalong Cassidy or Wild Bill Hitchcock or whatever. It was an adult-themed radio program, very dramatic, and they handled adult themes. The principal character actor was Raymond Burr, who, after the series canceled, went on to fame as Perry Mason on television. A lot of folks didn't know, but Raymond Burr was an outstanding and very active radio actor in a lot of radio series. Okay, We're going to start out with Fort Laramie, The Buffalo Hunters, which aired September the 9th, 1956, here on MPIR Live.
At the gallop! Buffalo!
Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Sergeant? This one's fresh killed.
And fresh skinned, sir.
How many buffalo we found this way?
Well, we come on 10 with this one. The men are fanning out looking for more.
They wouldn't be far away if there are more.
They're right dumb, aren't they, Captain? Buffalo must be the dumbest critters they is.
Well, couldn't call them crafty, but they're half blind. Can't see trouble when they're heading right into it. Lieutenant Seibert's back from the agency yet?
Well, yes, sir. He brought the wagon. They're loading carcasses in it back by the wallow.
They better get a move on. That meat'll cook in this heat.
Captain, you got the feeling there's something wrong.
Wrong?
Well, I've seen Injuns kill buffalo before, lots of them. But I never seen them leave this much meat on them.
Maybe agency life is making them lazy, Gorse. Maybe their bellies are too full.
Now, you don't think that, Captain.
I sure don't. I'm going to talk to Mr. Seibert. Are all of them cut this way?
I think so. I didn't rightly study them, though.
Then study them. All of them. Let me know what you find.
Yes, sir.
Have any trouble getting the wagon, Mr. Seibert?
Oh, no, sir. The agent seemed glad to know we were bringing meat in.
That seem odd to you?
Well, no, sir. I never saw an Indian agency that couldn't use food.
Neither did I.
Oh, excuse me, sir. All right, man, you can move the wagon now. Pick up the rest of the carcasses.
Just a minute.
Yes, sir.
I want to take a look at these.
Hold it a minute.
Mm-hmm. All right, man, carry on.
Yes, Captain. Pull it! Yes, Captain! You pull! Yes! Come
on! A lot of waste there, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of waste. How far to the agency? About 5 miles?
That's right.
You went there, you got the wagon from the agent. He said they'd be glad to get the meat. That all he said, Mr. Sabins?
I think so, sir. One thing he said when we first rode up.
Yes?
He asked us if we'd been engaged, a battle. Uh-huh. Said that early this morning he heard a lot of gunfire.
Yeah, I bet they did.
Captain Quince, sir?
Yes, Sergeant?
I studied them carcasses, all of them, like you said. They're all cut the same way.
Skinned, with the hump ribs cut away?
And that's all.
The men locate any more?
No, sir, just the 10.
According to Mr. Seibert, the Indian agent claims he heard a lot of gunfire this morning.
Well, it was a clear morning. The sound would carry all right. You saw the wagon tracks, Captain.
Yeah, I saw them. Tell the men to get a move on with their loading, Sergeant. Form a detail to haul the carcasses to the agency.
Yes, sir.
We'll rendezvous at the Fork of the Rawhide and proceed back to Fort Laramie.
Yes, sir.
Captain Quince, what about the wagon tracks?
All right, Jenkins.
You see these tracks here? The fresh ones?
From the wagon that was just here.
That's right. Now, over here. There. You see those?
Yes, sir. They're not as fresh, but you can sure see them. Our wagon wasn't over here, Captain.
And it wasn't down there where they're loading now. Or over yonder where the last carcasses were found.
Well, that's right, sir, but...
Indians don't hunt buffalo with wagons, Mr. Seibertz. And when they kill buffalo with guns or arrows, they don't just skin them, cut the hump ribs free, and leave the rest to rot in the prairie. From its horns to its chips, Indians use all the buffalo.
You think white men did this, Captain?
I'm thinking white men. And if buffalo hunters are moving up to the high plains, we got trouble, Mr. Seibertz.
That's reservation land, Captain.
That didn't make much matter to them, Major.
You seem very sure this is the work of buffalo hunters, not Indians.
If it's Indians, they've changed their whole tradition of hunting buffalo and killing them. I tell you, these were fresh killed. And the only meat gone was the hump ribs.
Well, that's the best meat.
Yeah, to you and me, yeah. But the Indians eat everything on the buffalo, including...
I know, Lee, I know.
What they don't eat on the spot, they take with them, even the horns.
Always use the horns for tools, implements, don't they?
Yeah, always.
I still hope you're wrong, Lee. It's a small hope, but it's there.
I'd like to be dead wrong, but I saw too much. And the Indian agent heard too much.
The battle?
Remember Texas? You get a clear morning, you could hear those buffalo guns roaring for miles. Enough of them sound like a pitched battle.
Wonder if they're still packing those old Sharps 50s. They're awful heavy.
Gotta be. They shoot out slugs, 125 grains of powder, 600 grains of lead, sometimes more.
Mm-hmm. And the Army struggles along with 450 grain slugs.
Well, we're not killing buffalo.
No, we're not. You know the position the Army's in as well as I do. White men aren't allowed on reservations to hunt, to mine, to anything. We can warn them if we see them before they move into Indian territory. If we catch them there, we can run them off or bring them back to the guardhouse. But we got to see him first.
We may not see him, Major. Until it's too late, we may not ever see him. And then the Army will be in another position.
What other position?
Fighting a war.
Wagon here so we can load it.
Awful hot just sitting here.
Well, you set, you hear?
I hear.
Hey, soldier, let's hear the sutler's store.
That's it, mister.
Much obliged.
Well, now, you got yourself some life there, ain't you?
Sharp as your eye, soldier.
Straight blade, huh?
Listen, me. Got them curved, too. They're nice.
You like curved knives better, do you?
I like what I need. Sometimes I need a straight blade. Sometimes I need them curved.
What kind of man's got a need for knives, straight blade or curved?
You goading me, soldier?
I'd be a fool to goad a man sharpening a fine knife.
Yeah. You would. You'd be a plain fool. There's a fine edge coming. Fine edge.
It's your business, cutting things?
Let me show you that curved blade, soldier. Now, look at that. Ain't that pretty the way it half circles?
You think it's pretty?
It fits your neck, soldier. Right close and neat-like. Now, that's what I call pretty. The fit of it.
Pretty enough? Looks dull to me.
It gets dull. Cutting.
Before I cut a man's throat with it, I'd see it was razor sharp.
I will. I'll tend to that right now. But I'll keep that straight blade handy in case I run into a soldier who wants to go to body.
I knew a man like you once. Looked the same, acted the same, talked the same. He was from Texas, this man I knew.
A lot of good men from Texas.
This man, he was a Skinner.
A lot of good men are Skinners.
This man, though, he got himself killed.
How's a man gonna get himself killed skinning buffalo?
He made the mistake, this Texas man, going into Injun territory. Went up into the Injun Nation. Got himself killed.
You don't know nothing about skinning.
I heard about this man.
You're dumb, soldier. Dumb as can be.
I ain't dumb enough to skin buffalo in Injun country.
I make $50 a month in my keep. With that, I get 50 cents a head on every buffalo I skin.
You do it fast, mister?
The faster I do it, the more money I make.
I'd sure admire to see you at your work.
Yeah, you would.
I would. I never seen a real good skinner at work.
You ain't?
You wanted to please about it. You could tell him how you said about your work.
You thinking about turning skinner?
Oh, I don't think I got the gift for it. Of course, I'm a willing hand and all that.
How are you on thinking?
I'm not too good to tell the truth.
You might make a skinner at that. The thinking part, what's done of it, that's a hunter job. Old Jake Cuppy there, he's got to find her, do the shooting.
Jake Cuppy?
In the sutlers. He's buying lead now and powder. He's got a line on a big herd.
Where?
What do I care? A big herd, soldier. He'll get me there and do the killing. All I got to do is traipse after him and skin him.
You was going to tell me how you manage that.
You see, you work with a good hunter. That comes first. Old Jake Cuppy, he's good. He shoots them right in the lights.
Lights?
The lights, the lungs.
Now, here I thought a good hunter'd take aim on his heart.
The heart? No. You hit one in the heart, even square in the heart. He's going to run all over on you before he dies, charging around, pawing the earth. Carrying on. No need a skinner wasting himself moving all over.
I can see that.
You hit one in the light, soldier. He may take a step or two on you, but no more than that. He drops right on the spot. Know how I mean? Skinner don't go to first one spot, then another.
Well, he don't waste himself, I understand.
And the gift you talk about. I got it for fair. I come on him. And first I rip him down the belly from the throat to the tail.
With a straight blade?
More than likely, yeah. Then I cut down each his legs. Go around his head, clean up to his ears. Listen here.
I figured the curved blade there.
And now myself, I don't bother with the rest of the head. I right away set to roll the skin back. Just for a starter. Then I draw a rope tight on the little flap of his neck that's free, see?
Uh-huh.
And I make the other end fast to the team, and then I kick them up. Then pulling that away, shook that hide right off in that animal. And that's a sight. I tell you, that's a sight.
I just bet it is.
50 cents. Every time I do it, I skinned as high as 50 buffalo a day. Now, that amounts to... Well, old Jake Cuppy usually does that counting up for me.
I guess you think a lot of Mr. Cuppy, huh?
What I got to think of him. I like Skinner, soldier. That's what I like.
You putting up here at Fort Laramie a spell?
Tonight, anyway. Maybe longer. What do you care?
As long as you're here, I just want to learn all I can from you, that's all.
It's a good life. A lot of good men are Skinners.
Your name, Jake Cuppy, mister?
How's that?
Your name, it's Jake Cuppy.
You don't want to steal up on a man that is eating you, Captain. Might make him edgy.
I make you edgy, mister?
I'm getting over it. Sit down, as long as you're here. Oh, yeah, I'll move my rifle aside. You got your eye on it, too.
I seen big 50s before.
I declare it opens a man's eyes, stopping off at an army post. First they tell me I'm welcome to put up with the enlisted men here, and then the only ones that come poking around are officers.
That's so?
How come you know about big 50s? Lieutenant claimed you never seen one before.
Mr. Seibert's never saw a buffalo hunter before.
Well, he's seen one now. Where do you find them? Like him, so full of book learning.
We find all kinds, mister.
Yeah, well, you found one there. Now, he's up on all the law in these parts. I'm not talking about your army law now. I'm talking territory law. I think that's how you said it. Something about there's a time of year you can't shoot what Lieutenant calls wildlife.
There's a law.
About hunting?
First Territorial Assembly passed it. It's called Wildlife Conservation.
Well, I declare. And here I thought the Army was a shooting outfit.
It is, mister.
Now I'm going to tell you what I told the lieutenant. You're going to make laws out here. You make them about the Indians. But you leave a white man to his work. You hear?
Must be you've shot up all the herds in the South Plains.
Oh, I wouldn't take all the credit for that. Others got the dew coming. I'm gnawing at you, Captain. Same way you're gnawing at me. You spoke your piece. Now, why don't...
You're wrong, mister.
That's another thing. I'm almost never wrong.
There's treaty law that says you can't go into Indian territory. That means all the land north of Fort Laramie.
I'm getting a mite worried about the Army. Ain't they doing any killing no more?
We're obliged to warn you. If you do go in, we can't protect you.
I just don't recollect asking for any protection. You ought to come along, Captain. This hunting's for a real sporting man.
I saw some of your slaughter the other day. That's real sporting.
Now you hear me what I say. I get paid on how many buffalo hides I ship. That's fine. Now then, folks in the East, they're developing a taste for buffalo meat. All I gotta do is get it to the railroad. And that's fine. I get paid for that, too.
I'd hate to have to fight a war on your account, mister.
Maybe I'd be on your side. I'm good at shooting. I tell you what, you figure a price on Injun hides, Injun meat. Maybe I will be on your side, Captain.
Kit Carson country, isn't it, Captain, along the Powder River?
He was up here, sure. All along the bottoms of the Powder. It was black with buffalo then.
Well, the big herds are still up this way, aren't they?
The Indians think so. That's good enough for me. And for Jake Cuppy, apparently.
You take men like Kit Carson, now he was a trapper, a hunter, but you hear good things about him. The Indians liked him.
You're not comparing Carson to Cuppy, are you, Mr. Seibert?
No, sir, I'm trying to figure out the difference. Both seem to be after the same things.
Seem to be, maybe. The early trappers, the hunters, the mountain men, they learned a lot from the Indians. Made friends with them, like you say. But more, they came to hunt like Indians hunt.
You mean they hunted as they had need?
More of that, they knew what conservation meant even then. That if you kill more than the herd can bear young, you'll run out of quarry. Man like Cuppy now, he likes a slaughter.
I hope we find him, Captain.
I hope we find him. In time, Mr. Seibert.
The wagon tracks we're following, Captain?
No, what about them?
Well, looks like they stopped just ahead, sir, right at that line of trees.
Patrol! Halt!
They could be in there, Captain. Cuppy and Gulfy.
They could, Mr. Syberts. Come on, Gorse.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gorse and I are going to move flat into the trees, Mr. Syberts. Have the patrol stand to cover us.
Yes, sir.
One shot out of those trees and you move in.
Right, Captain.
All right, Sergeant. Run crouch down to the brush. Then we move flat in our bellies.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Oh, the party service is prepared to charge.
Them high bed wagons like Gophie had, they move through here better than we do, Captain.
I can't see Cuppy making a camp here.
I can't see him coming in here over the Army's warning.
Just about to the trees, Gorse. Now don't straighten until we're in them.
Yes, sir.
All right, now.
They're not as thick as they look, Captain.
Well, they're ahead there, Gorse.
The wagon. It's Gophie's wagon, all right. Some hides here in the bed.
His team's gone. Must be thinking to drag the hides back here.
From how far away, I wonder?
I don't know.
I'm trying to figure them, Captain. I can see they might hide the wagon so as we couldn't follow its tracks, but we can track horses' hooves just as well.
Not this way, Gorse.
Grain sacks. Well, sure.
Yeah. You fix grain sacks to their hooves, it muffles the sound, leaves almost no hoof prints.
They're smarter than they act, Captain.
Are they, Gorse? Buffalo guns. That's one sound they can't muffle. Come on, Sergeant.
We've ridden 5 miles at least, Captain, and no sound to guide us for the last three.
Don't need sound with sign like that ahead, Mr. Syberts.
That brown haze like dust?
It is dust. Means a big herd. Probably been stampeded. There's bottom land just after that rise where a clear creek feeds into the powder. We'll make for that.
Yes, sir.
At the gallop! Ho!
Yes, sir.
Captain, look.
I'm looking, Mr. Syberts. I said it was a big herd.
But it's like a massacre. It must be 1,000 buffalo.
It is a massacre. That much killing of anything without cause. It is a massacre.
Well, Jake Cuppy, he couldn't have shot them all.
He could shoot enough with Gophie helping. Likely the rest were stampeded to death.
And slaughter, that's all you can call it. I don't see how it could happen, so much of it.
Buffalo don't have much eyesight. Count on smelling signs of danger. Guppy's trick is to shoot from far enough away so they can't smell him. We better go down there, Mr. Syberts.
Cuppy, would he cause all this and then hide out, Captain?
He might. Knowing we'd be coming after him.
knowing he and Gofie couldn't hope to haul them all out before we got here. You seen any that's been skinned?
No, sir, not a one.
Captain Quince, over here.
Well, now, that explains a lot of things.
I come on their horses first, down further. They're shot full of arrows, too.
Both of them are still warm, Captain. They haven't been dead long.
1,000 dead buffalo. 2 dead men. That's a lot of death. A lot of waste.
The engines must still be around, Captain.
Yeah, they'd still be around. Up in the hills, likely.
Those arrows, sir, they're in Cuppy and Gofie and the horses, but not the buffalo.
The Indians weren't after buffalo, Mr. Sabots. Come on, let's move out.
Captain, we'll have to fight the Indians for this?
Not today. Not this patrol. But this isn't the last of the buffalo hunters. More'll come all the time, and we'll fight wars over it.
We've got to just leave things this way?
The sooner we go, Mr. Sabots, the sooner the Indians will move down and get the meat and the hides. Sometimes all a man can do is turn, walk away.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were James Nusser and Barney Phillips. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismissed.
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Have you a youngster of school age? Right now, for the new fall term, parents and citizens will discover that the enrollment in their community schools has increased tremendously. That means an acute shortage of teachers, schoolrooms, and supplies. Help your youngsters and others in your community by joining up with your local civic and educational groups. Act now to correct the great shortage of teachers and equipment. CBS Radio urges you to help make your community schools fit for your community's youngsters.
that was Fort Laramie, the Buffalo Hunters, which originally aired September the 9th, 1956. And you're listening to MPIR Live, Episode 9, for September the 12th, 2020. And my name is Clyde J. Kell. You know, it is a real pleasure to bring these shows to you and to share my passion for old-time radio. Mystery Play Internet Radio is listener-supported, so I really need your help. I've created a budget, a fundraising goal of $500 to take care of some future expenses. So if you really enjoy these programs, please consider sending a monetary donation via PayPal. That's www.mpir-otr.com. mpir-otr.com, and click on that donation and support menu item. After you take care of your own personal expenses, if you find some loose change in that couch or in the car, please consider sending it my way. It would truly be appreciated and help me reach that goal of $500. Okay, let's move on to our next episode. And I've selected, this is an outstanding adult-themed episode, and you're here what I'm talking about. Fort Laramie, The Woman at Horse Creek, which originally aired September the 23rd, 1956, here on MPIR Live.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
How far you reckon it is to the North Platte, Captain?
10 miles, Sergeant. No more than that. Lieutenant Seibert should have the company bivouacked there by now.
You aim to follow the creek bed and clean up there, sir?
Not after we water the horses. Ah, this spot's good enough.
Yes, sir. Move up, Flint.
Sergeant?
Captain says we'll take a break here. Ease those cinches and lead the mounts down to the stream there and water.
All right, Sergeant.
After they're watered, they can pin graze.
I'll mind them.
Kind of peaceful, ain't it?
It's quiet. Yeah, sit down, Gorse. More comfortable than the McClellan.
Yes, sir. Yeah, them Shoshones, they got a way of wearing you out. You think they're still running, Captain?
They'll be back. They never run for long. Not when they're hungry.
I never heard of Shoshones as far east as the Nebraska border before.
You can find them as far east as Texas. Only there we call them Comanches. They're offshoots of the same tribe.
They sure don't talk the same. The
dialect's the only difference. They're a disorganized lot, the Shoshones. I guess we can be glad for that.
Yeah. Little of them goes a long way. How about the company, Captain?
We'll know more when we rendezvous. Lieutenant Seibert has orders to make camp on the North Platte until the company's accounted for.
I think we held up, sir.
Yeah, I hope so.
I sure got a thirst.
Hold it, Dorse. You hear that?
Like digging?
Yeah. Up there. Top of the rise.
I don't see anybody.
Neither do I yet. Come on. And move small.
She's awful little to be manning that spade.
And she's not too handy with it. She must want to hold Doug awful bad. That earth's like granite. Yeah, let's go up, Sergeant.
Feels like she's alone.
Yeah.
Ma'am?
You cut out a big job for yourself.
I got no food, no coffee, nothing to offer the army.
We're not asking for anything.
Could have come yesterday. Yesterday I could have stood it if you'd come.
You'll be all your life picking away at that hard pan. Haven't you got a man to do this for you?
I had one yesterday. He's dead now. And a man's got a right to a grave.
Sergeant?
Yes, sir?
Get Flint up here. Tell him we need a grave dug.
Yes, sir.
Where is your husband, ma'am?
In bed. In the hut there.
Wait. Hobble them horses and get up.
Foul in here, sir.
Gangrene. He's ridden with it. Must have taken him a long time to die.
Yes, sir.
Got a broken leg.
That's hard pain, Captain.
Looks hard, Gorse. Here, we'll wrap him in these bedclothes.
Right, sir.
The army always take over this way when it's too late.
It's best he's out of here, ma'am. You ready, Gorse?
Yes, sir.
Now, easy now.
Don't bury him just yet.
Grave's not ready yet. Drink it, Mrs. Dennis. It's hot, that's all I can promise.
Been a long time at it.
It takes time. Drink it, Ms. Dennis.
Luther was a long time at it, too, the dying.
I know.
All the things he's lived through out here. Indian raids and blizzards and drought, starvation. There's never been food enough. But a broken leg. That had to kill him.
You're a long way from help out here.
Yesterday, just yesterday. And you come today.
Yesterday would have been too late too, Mrs. Dennis.
Always before I could do something. I freeze with him, starve with him. When's the last time you watched a man die, Captain?
Yesterday.
Did it take 10 days, 10 days and 10 nights? Did you hear him scream with pain and beg for you to go for help and beg you not to leave him?
Miss Dennis, where would you go now? You got people somewhere?
Oh, sure, I have people. Got parents in Philadelphia who never want to see me again. 2 years ago, when Luther come back for me, they fought us all they could. When they saw I meant to leave with him, they said, don't come back.
You can't stay here.
The nearest to me is here. The There's two dead babies out there by where I'll set Luther down.
You can't stay here alone. Isn't safe.
I'm not used to feeling safe.
Captain, it's already out there.
Then you can go now.
Mrs. Dennis, this is no country for a woman alone. We'll take you to Fort Laramie. It's safe there. And
you'll leave me be.
It's not a brave thing staying on here. It's stupid.
I mean to stay on with Luther a while yet.
All right, Mrs. Dennis. Let's get back to the horses, Sergeant. We're wasting time.
She wasn't much grateful, was she, Captain?
We did a small thing. She'd no cause to be grateful, Flint. She's no mind to be grateful for anything the West gives her or takes away.
Must have been a pretty little thing once. Kind of dainty-like. How old do you reckon she is, sir?
Oh, early 20s.
Looks most half a lifetime to me, Captain. All drawn tight and mean.
The West does that to a woman. They come here as girls, and no time they're women. Old, past their years. She's not mean, Flint. She's soft as a kitten. She's born a lot, that's all.
Oh, you think that, sir?
I know that.
You'd think she'd want to leave, though. No use her hanging on to the land. She can't prove it up by herself.
She'll get out once she thinks it's her own idea. Right now, she thinks she can't face the thought of leaving him there. She's got nowhere she wants to go.
Wonder what'll happen to her. I mean, alone, like that. She can't fend for herself, can she, Captain?
Those women I seen out here'd find him a man, any man, marry again, just to live. They hate the West. Chances are they'd hate the man, too. But they keep marrying to live.
Now this one, Captain.
You seem pretty sure, Sergeant.
Just a feeling. She'll go back east somewheres. Leave her dead. Go back where she came from. She don't belong out here.
Well, she's got no wagon or a stock to pull it. If she goes, she'll have to walk.
Maybe she won't, sir. Maybe she won't.
Come in.
You sent for me, Captain?
Yeah, Gorse. Come in.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gorse, ever since we got back from Horse Creek, the fort's been full of stories that make the cavalry sound like a wet nurse outfit. You know anything about them?
What kind of stories, sir?
You know any troopers who are going around collecting money to send Mrs. Dennis back east?
Troopers? No, sir, I don't.
I've been kind of lucky at poker lately. Thought maybe I'd share it with whoever's running the charity around here.
I guess that'd be me, sir.
I guess it would. Here.
Obliged, Captain.
You're not going to make this a habit.
No, sir.
You taking the money to her?
No, sir. Private Flint's leave starts tomorrow after first call. He'll do it.
That's all, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
She reminds you of someone, Gorse? Girl somewhere?
No, sir, it ain't that. It's just she's so little and all, kind of like a stray. She don't belong out here.
Carry on, Sergeant. Captain Quint's reporting, sir.
Oh, I'm afraid you didn't do a very good job on the Shoshones, Captain.
We didn't wipe them out, Major, if that's what you mean.
You met them near the Nebraska border before, isn't that right?
And they were hightailing it into Nebraska the last we saw, those that lived.
Well, they're back, Lee. And in numbers, too.
They're hungry in numbers.
I'm familiar with your charitable streak, Captain Quince. I understand it's spread to Sergeant Gorse, right on down to the ranks.
There's no cause for worry, Major. It's not widespread enough to be called an epidemic.
All right, Lee. The Shoshones are raiding homesteaders from our side of the North Platte, south along Horse Creek. I understand there aren't many settlers along the creek.
No, not many.
They're not just hungry, Captain Quince. This time they're carrying off women. Any questions?
No, sir.
Then move out.
Your smoke ahead, Captain.
I see there is, Mr. Syberts.
Might be able to surprise them.
Just how do you think we could manage that?
Well, sir, if the fire's still burning, chances are there may be Indians around somewhere.
Look at that smoke again, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir?
Well?
I still see it.
Good for you. Then you see the fire smoldering, not burning fresh.
You think the Shoshones have gone on, sir?
They're not ones to sit around and admire their work once they've struck. Oh! Sergeant!
Yo! Think we can find them, Captain? They're probably hours away by now.
Unless it's a trap, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir?
Sergeant, that's Carpenter's cabin ahead, isn't it?
Was, sir.
You and I'll ride in, Sergeant. Mr. Syberts will move the patrol to that rise to the left and hold the position. Two shots will be your signal to move in, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir. That's an old fire, Captain. Smoldering.
Mr. Syberts and I know that, Sergeant. Any questions, Mr. Syberts?
No, sir.
Then move out.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Gorse.
There, Captain.
Yeah. He's cold. It is an old fire, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
And it'd be his wife's brother by the cabin.
He ain't been here months, sir.
That's all there was? Carpenter, his wife, her brother?
Just the three of them, Captain. I don't see her anywhere, Ryan.
No, it's not likely we will.
You'd think it'd be enough just to kill a man, wouldn't you, Captain?
You'd think so, Gorse. Come on.
No sign of life, sir?
No sign of life, Mr. Syberts.
I was wondering,
Captain. I know what you're wondering, Sergeant.
Well, her place would be north of here, sir.
Due north, along the creek. Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir.
You'll take half the patrol and move along Horse Creek to the south. You see those dots of smoke on the horizon?
I see them, sir.
Well, check them.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gorse, prepare to move the other half to the north.
Yes, sir.
All right, fall in.
I'm going north with Gorse, Mr. Syberts. We'll rendezvous at the usual point on the North Platte. First arrival makes camp and waits, with pickets out.
Right, Captain. I'll judge the fires better this time, sir.
Use your eyes, Mr. Syberts. Then use your head.
How long are you going to wait, Captain? Nothing stirred up there by her place.
The troopers in position?
Yes, sir. Full circle. Set back in the hills, all around the hut. Likely she's gone by now. Flint would have been through here with the money 2-3 days ago.
Maybe. I'm going in, Gorse. You got a clear shot at the door?
All the way.
I didn't think we'd find her hut still standing. Well, we'll see, Sergeant. Hold your fire, Gorse.
That came from the hut, sir.
The army's not welcome here, Captain.
You fire that again, ma'am. The whole patrol will move in.
You have some money to give me, too, Captain?
Now we'll talk inside, Mrs. Dennis.
You all right, sir?
No problem, Sergeant.
How many men, Captain?
Six. All around the hut.
Six army men. After one woman.
The Shoshones are raiding all along Horse Creek. You're lucky they missed you.
Lucky.
You can bring a few things, but not much. Let's get them together.
You didn't answer me, Captain. I asked you what you come for.
I told you to take you back.
I was real took in at first. I felt sort of kindly toward all the brave army men who put by the money for me.
Private Flint was here then?
That his name? That nice, smiley one who dug Luther's grave? Yeah, he was here. Clean till early this morning he was here. I don't figure I owe the army a thing now, Captain. Not a thing.
Sorry, Mrs. Dennis.
You're always too late, aren't you, Captain? Too late for everything.
I am sorry. I warned you it wasn't safe here.
So your hands are clean. Your conscience is clear.
I didn't mean that.
Oh, you warned me, but I had in mind you was talking about Indians when you said this was no country for a woman alone.
Indians or Flint or any man who hasn't seen a woman for a long time.
Now you've come. Six of you.
To force you to safety this time, ma'am.
There's a safe place for a woman out here?
Fort Laramie, for the time being.
Flint was from Fort Laramie.
Private Flint isn't the whole cavalry, Mrs. Dennis. You'll get food there, rest. In a couple of days, there's a stage out for the east.
With cavalry protection?
Not unless it's called for, ma'am.
Go back home. I guess that's all that's left. I hate that, Captain. I hate it.
I know how you feel, Miss Dennis, but I just want to tell you that I...
You don't. You couldn't. You couldn't know how I feel about anything. I'm going to get my things now.
The stage driver says about 5 minutes.
I wondered if I'd see you again, Captain.
I owed it to the sergeant, the troopers, to see their money got spent the way they meant it.
I wondered if I'd find a feeling in me to be grateful to you. Any of you.
No one's asking for any thanks, ma'am. No one expects any.
Oh, once I can forget, maybe I can be grateful.
You're better off leaving.
Luther was a good man. I used to read all he sent me about the West. He saw the good of it. New and full of hope, that's how he said it. I never saw that in it, Captain. I never saw the good.
It isn't all good, isn't all bad either. But you're better off back home reading about it.
Well, I better be getting on the stage now.
Safe journey to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Captain. And I mean thank you.
Goodbye, Mrs. Dennis.
Bye, leader.
All set, driver.
Bye. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah.
In the saloon.
You should feel right about things now, Gorse. You were the first to know she didn't belong here.
I won't feel right till he's settled, Captain. But how can he be now? The Army can't touch him without Mrs. Dennis tells her story.
She's been through enough.
But how about him? Why, he'd have drawn time, plenty of time, for what he'd done to her.
Don't worry about it, Gorse.
Well, now, wait, Captain. You can't do it that way. I've seen you like this before, Captain. You'll kill him.
I'll handle it, Gorse.
You know what they do to you, sir. Killing him ain't worth that.
I'm not going to kill him. But I am going to mark him up. Maybe he'll wish I had killed him. Is he drunk?
Not yet, sir.
In uniform?
No. Still on leave. You give me 5 minutes emergency leave. Just 5 minutes.
You leave him be, Gorse. That's an order.
Yes, sir. Over there, Captain.
I see him. You stay here.
But, Captain...
That's an order, Gorse.
Yes, sir.
What? Captain Quince. Hello.
Set your glass down, Flint.
Not on orders just yet, Captain. 2 more days of my leave coming to me.
Set it down.
He's got his rights, Captain. This saloon's not run by the Army.
It is now. Clear everyone out of here, barkeep.
Now, you just wait.
Sergeant, clear the premises.
Yes, sir.
What is this?
I don't know what you got in mind.
I do.
There's regulations on my side, Captain.
I'm waiting to hear you say it isn't true, Flint.
Setting your saber aside, taking off your tunic, don't make you less an officer. You can't lay a hand on me. There's regulations.
I'm waiting, Flint.
You touch me and I'll go over your head. I'll tell my story to the major.
You do that.
He'll break you down to my size once I tell my story.
You tell him, Flint, and tell it all, because I'll be there to see you don't leave any of it out.
And don't come any closer. I got every right to defend myself.
You sure do. And put that chair down.
I don't care who you are.
I'm just like you now, Flint. I got every right to defend myself. Your saloon's looking kind of run down, barkeep. Looks to me like it's due for some repairs.
Yeah, it sounded like it. But what about the customer? You just gonna leave him there?
See, he's taken to the infirmary, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. Is he bad off, Captain?
I'm not the best judge, Gorse. I'd say a good Army doctor could get him on his feet again in 6 months, maybe.
That saloon brawling sure is punishing stuff, sir.
It's deadly, Sergeant.
Well, what about me, my saloon?
Well, I'd watch who I let in there after this, barkeep. That man had a bad temper. Threw one of your chairs at me.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper, musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Virginia Christine, John Daner, and Barney Phillips. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. CBS Radio urges you to follow through to make sure you're registered to vote next November, no matter which candidate you prefer. You are lost in making a choice unless you're registered to vote in a national election. Are you sure you're registered? Are you sure the rest of the voters in your family are? Make sure today. Registration laws vary from state to state. Make sure you're in the book.
Fort Laramie, The Woman at Horse Creek, aired September the 23rd, 1956. And how'd you like that ending? Somebody got the tar beat out of him, at least according to the sound effects. I really enjoyed this episode. I hope you enjoy it too. Like I said, it is such a pleasure of sharing my passion of these old-time radio shows with you. Now, it's time to say goodnight. Thank you so much for listening to Mystery Play Internet Radio and MPIR Live. We just finished up with MPIR Live, Episode 9 for September the 12th, 2020. My name is Clyde J. Kale, and good night, everybody.
And now the time has come to lend thine ears to Au Revoir, Pleasant Dreams. Au revoir, pleasantries. Think of us when requesting to be until next Tuesday, when possibly you all may tune in again. Keep the old motto always in use. Yes. Au revoir. This is Ben Burney, ladies and gentlemen, and all the lads. Wishing you a bit of pleasantry.
I love to spend each Thursday with you. Pass friend to friend. I'm sorry it's true. I'm telling you just how I feel. I hope you feel that way too.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks, the memory, to each and every guy who helped our planes to fly. Each one of you a victory crew that kept our flag on high. And thank you so much. Say thanks to all you men for a swell time here tonight. We're in a hurry, so good night. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening, and good night.
McGee, where are you going now?
Gotta run down to the newsstand, Molly. Be right back.
What's all the hurry? Dinner's almost ready.
I gotta get a magazine. Somebody told me there's an article about us in this issue. Out today. Hey, you got any change?
No, I haven't.
Oh, never mind. I'll charge it as usual. The newsstand guy don't like it, but he does it for
me. What magazine has our pictures in it?
Look magazine. Hey, why don't you come with me? While he gives me a dirty look, you can grab a clean one, huh? Don't you get it, Molly?
It ain't funny, McGee.
It ain't? Well, it's hard to hold that terrific pace right up to the end.
Good night, all.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. What more is there to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Abrigo, aquitazane, and ink-a-dick-a-doo. Good night, good night, good night, good night, good night, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.